Our scripture reading for today is going to be chapter number 3 in the book of Romans. I will be referring back to the last two verses of chapter 2 more than once in the morning message, but as Paul addresses or answers a couple of questions at the beginning of chapter 3, but I'm going to read the entire chapter. My focus is going to be especially verse 2, especially the end of the verse. Let us hear now the word of God, Romans chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. May God help us as we begin our consideration of this third chapter of Romans today. May God bless your hearing of it. You may be seated. I begin the third chapter of Romans today, an important chapter in God's unique and only written word, the Holy Bible. Verses that will clearly show that salvation is of the Lord God alone, by sovereign grace alone, received through his gift of saving faith alone, due to the finished work of Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, according to the scriptures alone. Truths clearly declared in this chapter, as well as in many other verses in God's unique written word, the Holy Bible. And I use the word unique purposely and clearly, meaning that there is no other book in existence like the Holy Bible of Almighty God. And to treat the Holy Bible like any other book, or to think that it can or should be treated like any other book, is to show that you do not understand or correctly believe what it is from the very beginning, the unique and only Word of God to sinful and dying man today. The Bible alone is the Word of God. To adapt verses from other verses of God's unique written word that speak to this truth, and speaking of true believers in God, by faith we understand that the Bible was not framed by the fallen minds of lost religious men, but holy men wrote as they were infallibly and inerrantly moved by God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, to think that you can or should treat the Holy Bible like the books of history written by fallen, unbelieving sinners like Plato or Aristotle or Muhammad is to deny the Bible's uniqueness. Even before opening your mouth, something many in teaching positions in the church today would be wise not to do, in light of the coming day of judgment. Popular but dangerously wrong teachers on the subject of Bible preservation and transmission, who show by what they say that they do not even understand what the Bible is, the unique and only written word of God, the unique and complete providentially preserved word of God. Providentially, God works in history, friends, to preserve his word, the Holy Bible, which he has committed to the keeping of New Covenant Israel, that is the gospel preaching and believing church, even as the Old Testament was committed to Old Covenant Israel until the establishment of the New Covenant and New Covenant Israel made up a believing Jew and believing Gentile. A blessing given to Old Covenant Israel that Paul uses in the verses that open up chapter 3 to answer questions about his unbelieving Jewish brethren. For the majority of Old Covenant Israel misunderstood and misused this blessing, even as we are at a sobering and dangerous time in church history, when even the majority of churches claiming to be Reformed and evangelical are denying the treasure given to them and to keep and protect in the providentially preserved Word of God. Truth that will take up the majority of this message. Truth that has been and is continuing to be denied by supposedly evangelical and Reformed colleges and seminaries, which is the reason this error has infected so many churches today, as respected and revered pastors and teachers in Reformed and evangelical churches have been incorrectly taught on this important subject. They have forsaken or not correctly understood the very blessing that the gospel-believing and preaching church has received and has been committed to it in the completed oracles of God in the Holy Bible. Like the Old Covenant Jews did with what is called the Old Testament, a truth Paul shows in the first two verses of this third chapter of the book of Romans with respect to Old Covenant Israel, but which he applies to New Covenant Israel, the gospel preaching and believing church, when he writes to his brother in the Lord Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The gospel preaching and teaching church is the only thing on the face of the earth that has the truth in the Word of God. And the church over the last 150 years has not treasured that blessing. Now, verses 1 and 2 of Romans 3 make up a very small portion of God's providentially preserved written word. But what is Paul saying in them? He is saying that Old Covenant Israel was a blessed people, even though they misused and misunderstood the blessing they had received from God. Truth, he will answer in verse 3, a verse I will not get to today. What blessing from God had Old Covenant Israel misused and misunderstood? His word, his oracles. For even in the verses that end Romans chapter 2, and I trust you remember that chapter and verse divisions were put in later, but in the first verse of chapter 3 of Romans 3, Paul answers a question concerning the Old Covenant Jews after declaring the fact that even though first century Jews could trace their lineage back to Abraham and had been physically circumcised, if they broke the oracles of God, the word of God, the law of God committed to their care, they were as lost and in need of the one and only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, as much as any Gentile sinner they looked down on. For what is the question, or questions, plural, Paul is answering verse 1 of chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? If being naturally descended from Abraham and Israel, or Jacob, and being able to show it genealogically, if being physically circumcised as Abraham and Israel were, if these things were of no benefit without spiritual regeneration, as Paul declares at the end of chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Since there is no benefit to these physical things, without being made a true child of God through his sovereign regenerating grace, what benefit is there to being Jewish? What benefit is there to being circumcised? Paul answers these questions in verse 2 of Romans 3, declaring the wonderfully important truth about what the Bible is, and which is sadly being denied in far too many churches claiming to be evangelical and reformed. A grievous error, as I said, that will occupy the bulk of my message today. In light of the fact that the biblical gospel preaching and believing church has been blessed with the providentially preserved and complete oracles of God, the complete Word of God, the Holy Bible. But how does Paul answer these questions? By telling you what Old Covenant Israel had been blessed with, because they were the unique called nation of Israel. Verse 2, much, every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The very words of God. And notice how Paul emphasizes how they had been blessed, even though they did not use this blessing properly, as I will show. Verse 2 again, much every way, much according to every way you look at it. Old covenant Israel was blessed in a way that no other nation prior to the coming of Christ was blessed. What is the next word? Chiefly. A word in the received text behind the King James Version, most often translated first, as done in the six other times it is used by Paul in Romans, out of the over 160 times it is used in the New Testament. Just Paul's first use of it in Romans. Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. But here it is translated as chiefly, powerfully emphasizing how blessed Old Covenant Israel had been by what Paul declares Old Covenant Israel had been blessed with, but had not used correctly. And who can measure the problems and sorrows when a good gift of God is not seen correctly and used correctly? And how many examples of that could be given today? But what does Paul declare was the way that Old Covenant Israel was singularly, was chiefly, was first blessed by God? The end of verse 2, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Unto them were committed. Not something they committed themselves to, but to which they were entrusted or committed to by God. Even as Paul was to the saving gospel of God, 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. What was committed? What was entrusted to Old Covenant Israel? The oracles of God. Oracles, a word used four times in the New Testament. The three other times, Acts 7, verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles. Okay. What was Moses receiving on Mount Sinai? The words of God. To give unto us, Hebrews 5:12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. They needed the word of God taught to them again. And it becomes such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak. We referred to this verse earlier in the first hour. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Holding forth this thing committed to your trust, the words of the living God. As I said, a word referring to the words of God that the old covenant people of God were uniquely given by God through those who uniquely chose to speak and write them through. Truth that is applicable to the New Testament as seen by what is written by Paul and Peter. The New Testament, the New Covenant words, oracles of God. Old Covenant Israel uniquely received the oracles of God preserved in what we would become to known as the Old Testament. Whereas New Covenant Israel has received the completed oracles or words of God in the entire Bible, made up of the Old and New Testament. Friend, if you are a true regenerate child of God, you have been blessed by God with the complete, authoritative, and sufficient Word of God. And it's got a name, the Holy Bible. The unique and only written Word of God given to man. Do you affirm this blessing? Do you affirm this blessing even as Paul shows how Old Covenant Israel had been blessed by being recipients of the oracles of God, the words of God, even though they had not used them properly, turning them into a religion? And not God's revelation to them, showing them how much they needed the coming Messiah of God to save them from their many sins. A misunderstood and misused blessing, sadly seen today in too many churches. Not only by the many who call the saving gospel of God the Judeo-Christian religion, but also in light of the corrupt and dangerous teaching about the oracles of God, about the Word of God, that has gained sobering ascendancy, even as I said, in churches that claim to be Reformed and Evangelical. For true gospel preaching and believing churches, for true regenerate believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are the new covenant people of God. True believers in the biblical Lord Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, are the new covenant Israel of God. Not those claiming to be Jewish today. For what does Paul declare about a true spiritual converted and believing Jew at the end of chapter 2, verses I read again? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. If you are a true reborn child of God through the regenerating work of God the Holy Spirit, you are a spiritual Jew. You are a child of God. Because anyone who does not believe that the only true child of God today is the true regenerate born-again Christian, regardless of their natural born ethnicity, is misusing the words child of God. For anyone who does not believe that the true new covenant Israel of God is the gospel preaching and believing church made up of sinners reborn by God from every tribe, people, language, and tongue throughout time does not understand the uniqueness of the saving gospel, and unto this new covenant Israel of God has been committed not just the old covenant, not just the oracles of God that are commonly called the Old Testament, which are the very words that God wanted preserved until the coming of Christ in the fullness of time, but now under the New Covenant Israel, the believing gospel and preaching church, has had committed to it the complete and sufficient oracles of God in what is called the Holy Bible, made up of the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament. A blessing and gift from God that far too many calling themselves Reformed and Evangelical, even Reformed Baptist, are denying. On the altar of academic respectability and accolades. For this truth and blessing is being sacrificed on a dangerous and a wrong reinterpretation of the glorious truth of the providential preservation of the Word of God, the Holy Bible. The Bible alone is the Word of God, for even as Old Covenant Israel did not use the blessing of having had the Old Covenant oracles of God committed to them, for if they were using them correctly, they all would have been looking for the coming Messiah, and the wise men would not have had to go down alone to Bethlehem to find him. Jesus would already have been in Jerusalem, being worshipped and praised, for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords he is. They had the Word of God, and they didn't use it properly. The very one whom they rejected and crucified despite being revealed in the words of God, the oracles of God that God had committed to their trust and safekeeping. For did the old covenant Jew, by the time Jesus entered the world in the fullness of time, realize the blessing that had been committed to them in what we call the Old Testament? No, they crucified him. They denied him. They denied their need of the very one that the very words of God, that the very oracles of God committed to their care, that they meticulously kept and preserved, pointed them to, but refused to see and believe on him. The very one, the very words they were given should have been pointing them to. For if a person does not see that the old covenant scriptures are pointing those calling themselves Jews and all men, regardless of their natural or assumed ethnicity, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, they are not using what is called the Old Testament correctly. And this includes those calling themselves Jews today. But have the so-called Reformed and Evangelical churches in 21st century America and the world testify to an unbelieving world of the precious gift the Lord has committed to its trust and keeping, namely the authoritative, sufficient, and complete oracles of God, both Old and New Testaments, making up the one whole and complete, providentially preserved, written word of God in what is called the Masoretic text of the Old Testament and the received text of the New Testament, faithfully and accurately translated in the only English Bible that is needed and should be used in the churches today, daring to call themselves Reformed and Evangelical today, the King James Version or Authorized Version, because it is the only commonly used English language Bible that has not capitulated to the influence of what is incorrectly called the critical text theory of Bible transmission and preservation, but should correctly be called the corrupt theories of Bible transmission and preservation, even demonic theories. The devil loves the confusion and the division he has created in the churches due to these false teachings about Bible transmission and preservation. False teachings that have infected even Reformed and Evangelical churches since the 1800s. Through the false teachers Westcott and Hort. Corrupt theories that have done more to harm the harmony, the health, and the testimony of the gospel preaching and believing churches than those embracing these false and demonic ideas want to realize and face. In the words of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 13:22, because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Friends, Paul declares the great blessing that old covenant Israel had when it had committed to them the oracles of God, the very words of God. But as I said, they refused to see and believe on the one this blessed gift from God should have pointed them to when he entered the world in the fullness of time, a sobering truth seen as well today by those calling themselves physical Jews, but who cannot prove their descent back to Abraham and Jacob like any true old covenant Jew could easily do until the destruction of the temple and the genealogical records that it contained in 70 AD. Believer, you don't need to know your precise genealogy, because the reason they existed under the old covenant was to show the truth that the biblical Jesus, the only Messiah possible, has come. But lest I make this message too long, in which I have already offended who knows how many people, I must not chase the truth that it is not possible for anyone calling themselves Jewish today to show an accurate paper trail back to Abraham and Jacob, like those believing on the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, can do with the infallible and inspired genealogies of Jesus found in Matthew and Luke. bringing to an end forever the need to know precisely who your ancestors are. All you need to know is that your natural father, Adam, is Adam. And you were naturally born fallen in Adam. And if you die only having been born physically in the first Adam, and not reborn spiritually by God, the Holy Spirit, to see and confess your absolute need of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save you from your spirit, sinful condition and the sins of commission and omission that flow from your natural sinful condition, sins the Lord God has infallible knowledge of, you will perish everlastingly in those sins. But if you are truly born again into the kingdom of God by God, you will live forever. For unless a man is born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Have you entered into this everlasting kingdom by faith alone in Christ alone? Have you seen the kingdom of God through faith in Christ Jesus alone? I hope you have. But oh, what a sobering testimony to the true blindness and darkness of the human heart, to the true blindness and darkness of the human mind, when the Lord used the Old Covenant Jew to preserve and keep pure what is called the Old Testament. And yet they rejected their need of the one to whom the Old Testament points, anyone correctly reading it, even as Paul was doing before he was sovereignly saved from his Pharisaical misunderstanding of the words of God in the Old Testament on the Damascus Road. Have you been saved off that wide road leading to destruction? But friends, what has the Lord committed to New Covenant Israel? What has the Lord committed to New Covenant Israel? Not only the Old Testament oracles of God, but the New Testament oracles of God as well. His complete, as I said, his complete and completed Holy Bible. But what has the devil been soberingly successful in doing since the false teachers, Westcott and Hort, I mentioned a few moments ago, introduced their corrupt text of the New Testament and their corrupt view of how God transmitted and preserved his Holy Bible in 1881 into the life of the church? The devil has been soberingly successful in getting men who claim to be reformed and evangelical to embrace a false, dangerous and demonic theory of textual transmission and preservation that has resulted in the tsunami of inadequate, almost Bibles today. Now, can God, in his amazing grace and patience with ignorant and erring saints, use the plethora of almost Bibles to save one of his people from their sins? Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise his name. But when God has been pleased to protect and preserve his word over the centuries, what should you want to use, believer? What should you want to use, believer? Bibles based on this truth, not Bibles cut up Bibles based on the theories of heretics. To Old Covenant Israel was committed the Old Testament oracles of God. To New Covenant Israel was committed the completed oracles of God, the Holy Bible. But is this truth clearly heard in the churches in America today? Sadly, it is not. It's not being heard. Friends, do you believe in the sovereign providence of the Lord God of the Scriptures? Do you believe in the sovereign providence of the Lord God of the Scriptures? Do you believe that a sparrow does not fall to the ground apart from the will of thy heavenly Father? Do you believe that the very hairs of thy head are all numbered
If you don't, you don't believe in the glorious God of the Bible. But friends, if the Lord knows where every dead sparrow is, and he does. But friends, if the Lord knows how many hairs of your head came off of your head when you brushed your hair before coming here, if you did, and he does. Do you honestly think that it is not possible for him to preserve his wonderful written word from all the assaults of the devil and devil-used men? For how many foolishly and dangerously say it's not possible for God to preserve his wonderful word over 2,000 years of time? But friends, what is 1,000 years of time to the true and everlasting God? One day is as 1,000 years. Now, if I wrote out something for you to keep for me that I saw as precious, that I saw as important, if I wrote out something for you to keep for me, would it be hard for you to keep it safe and undamaged for just 2 days? For just 2 days. You understand how important it was to me. Oh, I'm going to make sure I'll put it in my safe. Friends, how important is the Word of God to God? How important is the Word of God to God? Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's how important God's word is to God. But friends, if you can keep an important document for me safe for 2 days, how hard would it be for the Almighty God to preserve his wonderful written word over 2,000 years when 1,000 years is a day in his holy, omniscient, and eternal sight? So it wasn't hard for the God of the Scriptures to bless Johannes Gutenberg with the knowledge and talents to invent the printing press, even as Europe was being gloriously flooded with the Greek manuscripts of the New Testament after the fall of Constantinople due to the Muslim hordes capturing it as revealed in the book of Revelation. Friends, do you honestly think it was not possible for God to preserve his word up to these historical events, even as wicked men like the Emperor Diocletian and labored to destroy every copy of the Bible? Friends, God alone knows how many accurate copies of the original copies of the Gospels and the letters of the New Testament were destroyed by these devil-used men. But God preserved his words throughout all these assaults. And when the wonder of the printing press was invented by Johann Gutenberg, he moved upon the mind and intellect of a man by the name of Erasmus to collate, to bring together these providentially preserved manuscripts so they could be faithfully printed and preserved in what is called the received text. And then faithfully translated into English in what is called the King James Version of the Bible. Truth I will return to. Oh, brethren, what a puny, inadequate, and blasphemous view of God is embraced by those holding to their corrupt theories of textual transmission and what the preserved word of God is, as seen in the tsunami of almost Bibles based on these inadequate and even heretical texts and the theories used to translate them. Have I offended a few people? Why are you shaking your head? Friends, There are false teachers in the churches today regarding the Bible. Is that not something to get a little agitated about? To New Covenant Israel, the church was committed. The New Testament of oracles, New Testament oracles of God in the received text. But false teachers have been laboring to undermine and assault this glorious fact of history for the last 150 years. Something I thank the God of sovereign providence, of amazing grace, from delivering me from. So I'm not going to hold before you messages based on translations, based on corrupt texts. For friends, don't listen to the lie that is found in the footnotes of the many almost Bibles today based on the corrupted and inadequate manuscripts behind the modern almost Bibles. A lie you may have heard or read yourself in the footnotes of these almost Bibles. What lie? That the earliest and most reliable manuscripts do not have beloved and important passages of the Holy Bible in them. Passages like the complete ending of Mark that even John MacArthur does not see as scripture. Or the woman taken in adultery in John 8. Or the glorious confession of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. Or the declaration of the blessed Holy Trinity of God, one God in three persons in 1 John 5:7. These are all to be seen as suspect and even spurious due to these corrupt theories of textual transmission and preservation. And this is to name just four. This is to name just four of over 600 differences between the providentially preserved received text faithfully translated in the King James Version and the sobering number of almost Bibles used in too many evangelical and reformed churches today. God have mercy. God have mercy on such dangerous teachers instilling doubt and questions about glorious truths about the Lord Jesus Christ found in these texts. Embrace these demonic theories, friends. Embrace these demonic theories and take your scissors. Embrace these demonic theories, friends, and take your scissors and cut out of your Bible Luke 23, verse 34. What is Luke 23, verse 34? Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke emphasizes the prayer life of our beloved Lord. The first word from the cross was a prayer. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The last word of our Lord from his cross was another prayer. "Father, into thy hands I commit thy spirit." And yet James White is on record saying that he could not preach on this glorious Christ-exalting text of Scripture because of the corrupt and dangerous theory of textual transmission he dangerously embraces and teaches. But some of the men who have taught these demonic ideas have already died, having denied the ability of the Lord to providentially preserve his word for his persecuted and oppressed people who need the light of his word shining in its complete glory. Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Lord preserves his people through his preserved word. For some of these false teachers have succeeded in making the poorly taught, weak believers sad and confused with their ever-changing views of what verses belong in the Bible. For what edition of the corrupt and inadequate text of the Holy Bible, known as the Nestle Aulon text, is currently available? What edition, friends? What edition? Well, the fourth? No. No, it's got to be the tenth. I mean, they've got to have it figured out by the tenth edition. Nope. Oh, okay, 15th. Nope. 20. They finally figured out what the Bible is by the 20th edition of this text. Nope. The 28th edition. The 28th edition that grades the Bible. I could show you a copy, my copy. I don't know what edition it is. And I've never enjoyed using it because for some reason it has a sticky cover. Maybe the Lord was saying something. This is, you don't want anything to do with this book. The 28th edition of men daring to grade the Bible. Not only this, but how many of the almost Bibles based on these corrupt and false theories of textual preservation and corrupt texts have copyright in the front cover? Have you ever noticed that? Copyright in the front cover. What a denial of the uniqueness of the Bible, being the unique and only word of God to man today. Copyright means a copyright owner. Who wrote the Bible? Holy men of God spoke and wrote as they were moved by the ultimate author and owner of the Bible, Almighty God. The Bible is not owned by Zondervan. The Bible is not owned by the Lockman Foundation. The Bible is owned by God. But just as the old covenant Jew refused to face the blessing he had in the oracles of God committed to them, how many have made and continue to confuse and make sad confessing believers by the rejection of the truth that the King James Version is the only Bible that should be used in English-speaking churches today because it's the only translation in common use based on the providentially preserved received text of the Bible, and does not give any support to the false and illogical theories supporting the avalanche of almost Bibles today. Friends, what is the one Bible that the Antichrist of Rome does not like? The King James Version, based on the received text. The faithfully preserved text of the New Testament used by God to guide and direct his church in one of the greatest revivals since the first century, known as the Reformation. How many promoters and pushers of the almost Bibles based on corrupt manuscripts and false theories of Bible preservation tell those they are misleading that the purpose of the initial supporters and framers of these theories from hell was to usurp and replace the providentially preserved received text behind the King James Version? Hath God really said? Oh, the footnotes of the experts say that this word or that word are not in the Bible. And to cover over their denial of the truth of the providential preservation of the oracles of God that the Lord has given to New Covenant Israel, these wolves in sheep's clothing will say that no essential doctrine of the faith is undermined. If this is true, but it is not true. For if this was true, why has there been this all-out assault on the received text and the translation based on it, the King James Version? But there are essential doctrines at stake, like the providential preservation of the Word of God, like the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, like the triune nature of God. Are these not a little important? How many weak believers have been made sad and even begun to question the very veracity, the very truthfulness of the Word of God because some respected Reformed Baptists have publicly stated that they would not preach from texts like Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because it is not found in their corrupt text, but friends, it is found. It is found in the providentially preserved received text. Friends, do you realize that there are Christ-denying Jesuits on the translation committees of Bible societies today, except for the Trinitarian Bible Society? I ask you, do you want to use an almost Bible that has had the hands of Christ-denying Jesuits on the translation committee? Oh, friends, I made reference earlier to the sovereign providence of the Lord over even the hairs on your head, but how many know? When 47 godly men were called together by King James of England to produce what was published in 1611 and since known as the King James Version or Authorized Version based on the Masoretic text of the Old Testament, the received text of the New Testament. How many know that this glorious work of faithfully transmitting the providentially preserved text of the Old and New Testaments was begun in 1604. That's how long it took them. But I'm not emphasizing the fact, what's 1604 to 1611? Let's see, that's 7 years, right? 7 years before they were willing to publish what is known as the King James Version. But some people say, so what? So what? But I'll ask you another thing, a fact of history. What was thwarted on November the 5th, 1605? A little bit, say roughly a year after they started their work. What was thwarted roughly a year? Have you ever heard of Guy Fawkes? What was thwarted on November the 5th, 1605? The attempt by the Roman Catholic Guy Fawkes and his co-conspirators to blow up the British Houses of Parliament and King James with 34 barrels of gunpowder. How many of these 47 men would have been there, not to mention King James? And the young puppet leader these rebels would have installed would not have continued this glorious work that has been used of the Lord to the salvation of souls for the past 400 years and counting. But the enemies against the providential preservation of all the words of God, of all the oracles of God, of all the fours and the buts and the singulars and the plural words that the Lord God wants his blood-bought people has been and is under attack in the Bible colleges and seminaries by men refusing to face the horrendous damage they are doing to the Church of Christ by assaulting the very words of God. These men should be rebuked to their faces and not listened to as Paul rebuked Peter because he was wrong, even as they are. For friends, I never finished what I wanted to begin this message with. The Holy Bible is not only the unique and only Word of God, but it is the unique and only Word of God today because it is the infallible, meaning it contains no errors on any subject it teaches on, including what it uniquely is. Because it is infallible and inerrant, meaning it contains no errors. It is the infallible and inerrant Holy Spirit-inspired written word of God, Holy Spirit-inspired men, men who were specifically chosen by God to write both His Old Testament oracles and New Testament oracles, His Old Testament words and His New Testament words, men not only specifically chosen by God of sovereign providence to do so, but carried along, but moved along as the wind carries a sailboat to go in the direction it wants to take. As that boat that did not get Paul to Rome because the wind was taking it in another direction. In the book of Acts, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures have any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, as they were carried along, as the wind carried that sail in that ship that eventually broke up. As the men were moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost of God. Friends, is God the Holy Spirit who infallibly and inerrantly moved the men He chose to write both the Old and New Testament oracles of God, going to allow His words to perish in the blood-bought church of Christ, not to have them in their blessed possession? Unto us were committed the complete, authoritative, and sufficient oracles of God, brethren. What does Jesus say in Matthew 5:18? For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. What warning is given at the end of the completed word of God, testifying to how truly dangerous it is to think that you can play fast and loose with the word of God. The Holy Bible, Revelation 22:18-19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Oh, the blindness that was upon old covenant Israel, blessed with the oracles of God that they faithfully preserved but refused to see the one these very oracles were pointing them to. The Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They crucified their Messiah and King. But beware. Beware of the dangerous times you are living in, believer, for corrupt theories of textual transmission introduced into the churches by men who did not believe in the providential preservation of the Holy Bible produce some dangerous, soul-threatening, soul-darkening fruit. For I made reference earlier to the fact that those holding to these corrupt and false theories of textual preservation and transmission are on their 29th edition of the Bible. But with the advent of computer technology, there is a new demon. Excuse me, there is a new kid on the block. A new corrupt theory of textual preservation and transmission. And I'm sure this late in the message, you will all love me for giving you the letters for this new corrupt and dangerous theory. It's called the CBGM. It's called the CBGM. What does CBGM stand for? The coherence-based genealogical method. The coherence-based genealogical method, and I'll test you on that after, just like I did with Hapax Legomenon. The coherence-based genealogical method, it is a way of coming up with another corrupt textual tradition, not based on the providential preservation of the Word of God, as testified to in both the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith and the Westminster Confession of 1644. And although I don't adhere to either of these two confessions, for more than one reason, their statements on the providential preservation of the Word of God are excellent. And I would invite you to read them and be edified by them. And those who say they adhere to either of these confessions but embrace the corrupt textual criticism today seen in all the almost Bibles used in so many of these churches using these confessions is showing that they do not believe what their confessions teach and what the framers of those confessions taught and believed. But to return to the CBGM, the coherence-based genealogical method, it jettisons most, if not all, of the presuppositions behind the corrupt textual theories of men like Westcott and Hort and Metzger. It is based on, and you will all love to hear this, it's based on a computer algorithm. It's based on a computer algorithm. As one excellent teacher and defender of the received or confessional text, Jeff Riddle, has described, this new method of corrupt textual criticism is like the Build-A-Bear Company. For there is apparently a company where you can build a stuffed bear as a gift according to your specifications. Now, with the CBGM corrupt method of textual transmission, you can build your own Bible. And friends, how many Bibles based on corrupt, non-providentially preserved manuscripts and corrupt Bible translation methods are there already in English today? Even before this new false and dangerous method of textual mistranslation, the CBGM becomes popular. God have mercy. God have mercy on those refusing to face that they have been and are being used by the devil to make the people of God sad where there is no need to be sad or discouraged. The Lord has committed all his words, all his oracles to his people and to his churches who understand that the devil knows that if he can instill doubt, if he can instill questions into the minds of God's people as to the providential preservation of God's word, he has won a great victory. A victory too many in positions of preaching and teaching in the blood-bought churches of Christ are helping him to maintain. 1 Corinthians 14:8, for at the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If preachers are going to spend precious time in the pulpit explaining away the words of God on the basis of corrupt, non-glorifying theories of textual transmission, and more than one has, how are those listening to them going to adequately contend for the faith once delivered to the saints? Which includes the truth that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Those holding to corrupt textual transmission theories are punching holes, are drilling holes, are blowing holes in the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I ask you, as I reach the end of my message, believer, do you want to fight the world? Do you want to fight the devil? Do you want to fight the flesh with a sword full of holes? Men who doubt and deny the providential preservation of the words of the Lord as found in the Masoretic text of the Old Testament and the received text of the New Testament are not fit to teach on the truth of what the Bible uniquely is and always will be, the providentially preserved word of the living God. Believers, don't listen to such incorrect men. Get your understanding of the Bible from the Bible alone, not the words of men who need to be rebuked and corrected for creating division and discouragement where there doesn't need to be division and discouragement. Hath God said he will preserve his word from this generation of word of God deniers forever? Yes. Who are you going to believe? God, who wrote, preserves and protects his word, or men who knowingly or unknowingly are at war with God over the truth of his word? May God have mercy on them and bring them to repentance and enable them to stand in the truth of Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The complete oracles of God committed to his gospel preaching and believing churches are under assault. Not only from this devil-controlled world, as you would expect, but from enemies and deceived believers within the camp. God give you the wisdom, the strength, and the courage to be on guard against them. And stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye err, not knowing the power of God or the scriptures. Oh, how many are there in the churches today dangerously believing that the Lord God of sovereign providence does not have the ability to keep his word pure in all ages until the heavens are rent and the one to whom his preserved word points us returns to receive unto himself all those looking for his glorious appearing according to his wonderful preserved written word. Are you looking for him according to his wonderfully preserved written word, the Holy Bible? I hope you are. Let us pray. Oh Lord, help us to not be like Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden, who heard him distort your word, and we have been reaping the bitter fruit of listening to him rather than you since that day. Grant to us to be a people that desire and want to be sanctified by your word. Answer the prayer of your Son. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Lord, do that good work in us, and we will give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.